another show. You know, every week when we put together No Nonsense Nutrition, and I'm real happy to be in my seventh year on the air with WSLR, we look at what's important. And, you know, with the turning of the year, every year has its own quality. There's no question about it. You know, numerology talks about the fact that there are two fundamental principles that exist in the universe. One of them is that things occur in cycles, and the second one is that if they're cyclic, they're predictable. And so, since things occur in cycles, well, we can observe that. We can put a seed into the ground, and we know that the next day we're not going to eat the fruit. Because the seed has to germinate inside the ground. There's that period of invisibility where something's happening, but you can't see it. And then those first couple of leaves come out of the ground. For those of you botanists out there, you know if there's two leaves, it's a dicotyledon, but, you know, that's kind of an insider botany word. So those leaves come out of the ground, and you know that the plant is at least got to start. But then it has to mature and develop and ultimately put out a flower, and the flower has to get fertilized, and that fertilization has to allow the plant to set its fruit or product, as it were. And then that fruit has to develop and ripen so that you can harvest it. And then, of course, the fruit falls off the tree to rot and become the seed of the next generation. And so as we look through the fact that the cycles keep turning, and if we look at that song, Turn, 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 it tells us that we turned yesterday from summer into winter today. And remember, if you haven't heard the news, it's supposed to go down to 36 degrees tonight, so get the woolies out, no doubt about it. That big Arctic cold front is gonna be sweeping on through over the course of the day today with some winds along with it, and we're going to have a pretty chilly morning tomorrow morning. So we see all sorts of cycles turn, but a lot of you woke up yesterday and thought about your New Year's resolutions, thought about things that you would like to change in your life. And always at the top of the list, at the top of the list, at the top of everybody's list. You know, when you look at New Year's resolutions year after year, people say, I want to lose weight, I want to get fit, I want to get out of debt, I want to reduce my stress. You know, there's a certain list that all of us have. And so let's talk about some of those things as they have to do with health. Because I tell you, this year, as I've looked in my practice, and as I have been out there teaching in the world, I've come to understand that one of the things that we have to put way higher on the list is prioritizing our sleep. Prioritizing. Now you say, Eve, of course, I go to bed every night, I get sleep every night. But do you know that more than 30% of Americans are getting less than 6 hours of sleep a night? And the first thing that I think about when you don't get enough sleep is you get grumpy. Grumpy doesn't help anything. But what's actually true is that your memory is impaired as a result of not having enough sleep. You have decreased alertness. That's pretty obvious. But it greatly contributes to high blood pressure. It increases your risk of stroke. And, you know, there's been a lot of research that indicates that undersleeping contributes to obesity. It reduces not only your sex drive, but it reduces your sex performance. In a study that was done by the National Sleep Foundation, 43% of Americans said they rarely get good sleep, and 60% said they had some kind of sleep problem. Those are hideous numbers. And so when we begin to look at prioritizing sleep, it's a matter of asking, what are you doing that last hour before you go to bed? Now, I know a lot of you moms out there, you got kids under 10, and you've always got a pile of laundry to do or a dishwasher to run or something else to pick up. But I got news for you. That extra hour of sleep is actually going to make you more efficient in getting all of your chores done, whether those chores are picking up after your kids or picking up in your office. Your creativity will increase. Your ability to be easy and to manage your stress is improved as a result of quality sleep. And so let's look at the three major sleep aids that I use in my practice. Of course, everybody's heard of melatonin. You'd have to live in a cave to not have heard about melatonin, that brain hormone and antioxidant that we manufacture in the pineal gland that allows us to fall into restful sleep. Well, if you tried melatonin, and most of the time at the store it's sold in 3 milligram doses, and it didn't help you go to sleep or it didn't help you stay asleep, then what's true is you don't have a melatonin deficiency. Melatonin is made in the dark. And so it's real important that you start to dim the lights before you go to bed. You know, turn those lights down an hour before you go to bed. Stop reading with a really bright light or sitting in front of a computer screen or bright television if you're one of those people that has trouble falling asleep. You know, it's one of the reasons I sleep in an eye mask every night. I sleep in a padded eye mask because you could be standing in front of me with a spotlight and I wouldn't be able to see the light. The darker it is, the better your sleep. Get rid of the night lights. Take electrical tape and cover over any of the LEDs that are on your alarm system or your television. Turn your clock radio to the wall. Any of the things that you can do to reduce light in the room, because it only takes one candle power of light in order to turn off your melatonin, because your body thinks the sun is coming up. And so when it gets that little bit of light, it goes, oh, well, it's time to get up, and it turns off your melatonin production. So you can try melatonin. I happen to like the controlled release variety of melatonin. That 5 milligram dose of a controlled release means you get a milligram, and then another 90 minutes later you get another milligram, and then another 90 minutes later you get another milligram, and so it just sort of feeds that melatonin in your body through the night. But like I said, if you tried melatonin, it didn't work. Simple. You weren't short of melatonin. And unless you use the control release version, you don't really need a whole lot of melatonin to get to sleep. Sometimes a half of a milligram is all you need to get somebody to sleep, but melatonin's out of your body in about 30 minutes. It doesn't, you metabolize it really quickly. And so unless it's a control release version, melatonin will help you get to sleep, but it won't help you keep asleep. The second thing that I use to help sleep is 5-HTP, 5-hydroxytryptophan. You might have heard of tryptophan. It's an amino acid. And tryptophan turns into 5-HTP, and 5-HTP turns into serotonin, which is that wonderful neurotransmitter that gives you harmony. We call it the harmonizer because it makes us feel better. It lifts our mood. And then serotonin turns into melatonin. So look at the pathway. Tryptophan to 5-hydroxytryptophan to serotonin to melatonin. So when you take 5-HTP, you get two bangs for your buck. You raise your serotonin and you raise your melatonin. And for a lot of people, that's a more effective strategy for sleep than using melatonin alone. The third major sleep remedy that I use in my practice is theanine, and it's got an L in front of it, just like all amino acids do, L-theanine. L-theanine is especially important before bed if you happen to be one of the people with a restless mind. If you have the monkey mind, that chatter that's going on inside your head where you're talking to yourself, you know, that voice inside your head, you know, when you say, what voice inside your head? That's the voice. The voice that said, what voice? That, if you've got that voice chattering away at you when you're laying in the bed trying to sleep, then theanine might be just the amino acid for you. Because taking 100 milligrams of theanine absolutely can quiet that rattly monkey mind. And I generally will recommend someone use theanine 30 to 60 minutes before they go to bed so they can quiet down the monkey mind before they lay down to sleep. So if you're one of the people who is the 60% of Americans that have some sleep problem. And certainly, if you're one of the 43% of Americans who rarely get good sleep, then I say give it a try with melatonin, 5-HTP, or theanine. And every once in a while, I use all three of them. And put sleep higher on your priority list is one of the most important New Year's resolutions that you can make. There isn't any reason to stay up and spend time on Facebook. There isn't any reason to play one more game of solitaire. There isn't any reason to watch stupid TV as opposed to getting sleep. So I'm going to put prioritizing sleep as number one on my list of New Year's resolutions. Number two on my list of New Year's resolutions is work on your posture this year. I love the look of high heels. I never wear them. I wear flats all the time. Now, it's true that I got a long frame, so maybe I don't know the challenges of being a petite person. But I see women walking around in these 4-inch and now 6-inch high heels, and I think, oh, you look so good. And those shoes are going to look so good on your shelf when you're freaking crippled as a result of wearing them. Two things bad happen. Well, three. Your knees, your hips, and your low back. You have to arch your back. You have to sway your back in order to stay balanced on those high heels. So separate from the fact that the orthopedists absolutely believe this is a gold mine as a result of the number of ankle injuries and falls that have happened since high heels have gotten popular, but I don't know if the payoff is worth it. At least if you're going to wear sky-high heels, wear low shoes while you're driving your car back and forth to work. You know, keep another pair in the car and trade them off. If you foreshorten that muscle in the back of your calf, it becomes hard for you to wear flats. So going back and forth between high heels and flats will at least keep those muscles flexible. But I'm talking to all of you, not just the heel wearers, when I'm talking about posture. Sitting, sleeping, driving, all of the different ways that we move in the world. That would be an important New Year's resolution. You know, posture is the position in which you hold your body upright against gravity. You've got an entire planet underneath your feet trying to drag you down. And we have to train our body to stand, to walk, to sit, and to lie where the least amount of strain is placed on the supporting muscles and ligaments. Of course, we want to keep our bones and joint in correct alignment so that the muscles are used properly. But we want to decrease the abnormal wearing of the joint surfaces that ultimately results in arthritis. We want to decrease the stress on the ligaments holding the spine together and prevent the spine from becoming fixed in an abnormal position. We want to prevent fatigue in the muscles because they're being used more efficiently. It allows the body to use less energy. We certainly want to prevent backache and muscle pain and strain and overuse problems, and plus it makes you look good. You know, when you see a 70, 80, 90-year-old that looks perky and you go, oh, she doesn't look her age. Oh, he looks younger than his years. I will guarantee you that one of the things that you're seeing is quality posture. When we see somebody bent over, we absolutely relate that to disability. So I've had clients in my practice over the years who've been diagnosed with everything from MS to arthritis, who didn't do anything but sit wrong. They got in a beanbag chair. Oh, I'll tell you a story about a client of ours. We had a client that used to come into the clinic for massage, and she said her neck always hurt, always hurt, always hurt. And she'd come in and get a massage, and she said, oh, she felt so good after she got the massage. but it only lasted for an hour or so, and then she was in trouble. She was a realtor here in Sarasota, and you know they spend a lot of time in the car. And it just so happened that I was up at the front desk in the clinic about the time she was driving out of the parking lot, and I looked through the glass door, and I saw her leave, and she had her seat tipped way back, like she was cruising the hood. And you know, if your seat is tipped way back, your head gets pushed forward. And that's exactly what happened. And so when she pulled out of the driveway, I went directly to the phone and called her on her handy dandy realtor cell phone. And I said, "Girl, what are you doing with that seat of your car? Setting it back that far. You're causing your head to jut forward. You know, you don't have any muscles in the front of your neck that are designed to hold up a 10-pound bowling ball. The muscles that are designed to hold up that 10-pound bowling ball you call your head are the muscles of your shoulders and the back of your neck. So when your head is way forward, your muscles in your shoulders, neck, and upper back have to tighten to keep your head from falling off. Now, I know your head doesn't really fall off, but stay with me. You're going to end up with neck and shoulder pain if you have your head jutted forward, slouching at the computer, sitting with your car seat too far back, slouching watching television. Those are things that will cause you to have pain on a very regular basis. So pay attention to where your head is right now in space and time. Your ear should be over your shoulder over your hip over your knee, and your knee over your ankle. That's good posture. So whether you're standing or sitting, look, pay attention, feel what it's like to draw yourself up. You know, in dance class, they used to say to tie a string in the middle of your head and pretend you're being pulled up by that string. Now, I got a better idea. It's not a pretty idea to describe, but it really works good. If you had two meat hooks hooked underneath the back of your skull, back there in the area we call the occipital lobe, right there where your skull meets your neck, and you had those meat hooks going right into the back of your neck, and you're lifting from the back of your head. Do it with me right now. Feel the back of your head and lift from the back of your head, not the top of your head, and you'll find those little teeny tiny muscles along your spine really have to work. They fatigue pretty quickly. So when you draw yourself up and accentuate that pull, you will find a good standing posture and a good sitting posture. Doing things like just distributing your body weight evenly on both hips. A lot of people are one-legged. You know, they stand on one leg all the time and they cantilever their hips over and end up with problems with their back. As I was driving in this morning, I was coming up Siesta Key and I saw a man who probably made a New Year's resolution to get out and walk. And this is a man that was morbidly obese, well over 100 pounds of excess weight. Great big belly starting right under his breasts. And no, they weren't pecs, they were breasts. Great big belly in front causing his back to sway. But the thing was that is he didn't walk, he waddled. He walked like he had a diaper on with his legs far apart because he couldn't do anything else. That waddle from obesity causes stresses on the joints that are on the side of your vertebrae. And I'm really happy to see this guy out there moving because clearly he's made a commitment to do something about his health. And you can start anytime. It's never too late. But my concern really were those facet joints, those parts of the vertebrae in his back, because that waddle is literally going to wear out those joints. You know, I've had a real advantage being in practice here in Sarasota now, starting my 25th year. The advantage that I've had is I've gotten older with my clients. I've seen people at 50 that are now 70, and people who were 70 who are now 84, and people that were in the eighth grade that are now, you know, have their own children. And one of the things that I've seen is that we don't pay enough attention to these small postural issues. We think that we can continue to break the rules in terms of posture and get away with it. And that's why I've become much more aggressive in my practice when people have a structural complaint of addressing it more aggressively. Simple things like when you sit, keeping your feet flat on the floor. If you ever come into my office, you'll see that I've got a little footrest underneath my desk, one of those things I ordered from a catalog. And what it does is it keeps me from crossing my legs. My tendency, especially as long-legged as I am, is to cross my legs. Well, if I have my feet on that footrest, I can't cross my legs. There's not enough room underneath my desk to do it. And so it allows me to keep my feet flat on the floor or sitting on that footrest. And so that allows your hips to be in correct alignment. And it's a whole lot easier to align your spine, your shoulders, your neck, and your head if your hips are square in the chair. You know, adjust your chair height and your workstation so you can sit up close to your work and tilt it up to you. You want to be able to rest your elbows and arms on your chair or your desk so you can keep your shoulders relaxed. Remember how valuable posture is. You know, this isn't about the 12-year-old getting ready for the cotillion class. It's about your ability to be mobile. You hear often on No Nonsense Nutrition me talk about the fact that the single biggest reason that women are admitted to a nursing home in the state of Florida is frailty. And that frailty often comes from injury that limits us. And very much of that limitation is going to come from poor posture. You know, we talked about increasing sleep. Let's talk for a second about posture and sleep. You want to maintain the curve of your back while you're sleeping. You don't want to sleep with your knees drawn up to your chest. And you really do want to avoid sleeping on your stomach, especially on a saggy mattress, because this will cause back strain and really make your neck uncomfortable. But when you put a pillow underneath your head, your spine should still be in alignment. I see individuals and they get pillows that are too high, and it again pushes their head forward and puts stress on the muscles of their back. So don't just think of posture sitting and standing. Also think of posture sleeping, and do what you can to improve overall the way that you regard the body. I'm going to make another New Year's resolution, and that's to take more vacation. And some of you say, well, I'd love to do that, Eve, but I just don't have the money or the time. Well, the time is there. Do you know that the average American has 3 unused vacation days at the end of every year? And when you survey those people and you ask them why they didn't use vacation days, it's fundamentally a lack of a plan. And what's true is that my husband and I were on Siesta Key Beach yesterday making plans for vacation for this year. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And so getting a break, getting a real break from the rigors of your schedule is one of the ways to not only refresh your body, but also to refresh your brain. You not only need to take a vacation yourself, but you need to let your electronics take a vacation. You know, I got a new campaign promise here, or a campaign pledge. Put your electronics to bed. You know, we found out that the sound of the cell phone actually causes a reaction in the brain that is the same sort of reaction that happens when you're in love. We literally love our smartphones. But whether it's the computer or whether it's the smartphone, we need to find life after electronics. When I look at the clients that come into my office that have to look at their cell phone repeatedly during an appointment, I definitely see that the addiction is at hand. So you want to think about turning off your phone when you come home from work. You want to think about turning off your phone an hour before you go to bed, your computer an hour before you go to bed. You need to make a New Year's resolution to put your electronics to bed, because that'll work on the fifth resolution we have for this year, and that's to reduce our stress. I've taken so many stress management seminars, but there's two things that I've learned that are real important that you can do right now. Breathe in through your nose and out through your lips. Do it now. Breathe in through your nose and out through your lips. And when you breathe out through your lips, you want to purse your lips, just like you're going to kiss somebody, so that you're putting a little back pressure on that breath. Do it again. Breathe in through your nose and out through your lips. When you purse your lips and breathe out through your lips, there's a little area in the middle of your upper lip that you can feel when you hum. If you hum right now, do it with me. You can feel a little vibration right there under your nose, right on the upper lip. Do it again. Feel that vibration. And that little area where that vibration is, when you purse your lips to exhale, that's where you want to push against. You want to push the air against the middle part of your upper lip. Do it with me again. Breathe in through your nose and out through those pursed lips. And create that little vibration on the upper lip. That reduces your muscle tension. You can probably feel it right now, because that's what stress is. Stress is muscle tension. So anything that you do to reduce that muscle tension, whether it's get in a hot tub or take a hot shower, whether it's do an exercise class or yoga, or breathe three times in your nose and out your lips, all of those things help us to reduce the stress that is muscle tension. Now, we think stress might be our mother-in-law, or it might be the traffic on 41 with the season. I keep thinking I've seen the most simple-minded drivers that I've ever seen, but yesterday I got one that really took the cake. Over in Gulfgate, there's those hoop-de-hoos on Gulfgate Drive that are designed to slow you down. You know, they've put a palm tree, like, in a planter on the side of the road to make you curve around it, with the idea that that acts like a speed bump. And I actually had a driver in front of me who turned on her signal in order to go around that little hoop-de-hoo. Okay, we'll talk about intelligence at another one of the no-nonsense nutrition programs. But the thing that we want to do in terms of reducing stress is realizing that stress happens to us all the time. Circumstances we can't control. And when we take that breath in and push that air out, it allows us to relieve a little bit of that muscle tension. You know, another one, and feel right now the orbit around your eye. Feel those muscles that go in a circle around your eye, and just relax those muscles. Just relaxing the muscles of the eye orbit can reduce your stress. Now, we can talk about all the different things that will reduce your stress, like, you know, getting out of debt and planning those vacations. But what's true is we need something that we can do immediately. And reducing the tension around your eyes and taking those three breaths in the nose and out the lips are one of the ways that you can reduce stress immediately. Keeping in touch. That's a good resolution for you to make for this year. Keeping in touch with you. Keeping in touch with friends or family. It was interesting. I had a client in and she said, well, I finally went up on Facebook. I finally decided to join, and I spent all of 2011 really dedicating every day to putting my postings on Facebook and getting information off Facebook. And she says, and I was contacted by, you know, those old friends from third grade that, you know, I hadn't had any contact with in 40 years. And now I realize why I haven't had any contact with them for 40 years. So she discovered that keeping in touch with people that you really don't have an anchor with didn't really have a whole lot of value. But keeping in touch with your friends, spending time with the people whose company you enjoy, who make you laugh, who stimulate you, Some of you keeping in touch more often with family would actually be a stressor, not a relaxer. But all I say is make sure you maintain your community, because anything that you can do to maintain your social community is beneficial for your health. You know, it's one of the reasons I volunteer. I volunteer here at the radio station. I volunteer running my PWA class. That's the People with AIDS program. By the way, it's tomorrow night at Trinity Church of the Trinity on Lockwood Ridge Road. If you know anybody infected with HIV or affected by HIV, they're welcome to join us tomorrow night at Church of the Trinity at 7 o'clock. I've been doing that class now for 20 years. So volunteering in your community not only gives you a great social network, but it gives you a sense of well-being. I think that the real change that's happening in the cycle of the earth is the awakening that sharing our time, sharing our resources, sharing our absolute ability to reach our hand out to those that are in need of whatever. You know, one of the announcements that I saw in today's paper was an announcement about those individuals who were wanting to teach literacy. It was called Feed the Need to Read, and it happened at 10 o'clock on Thursday morning at the Literary Council of Sarasota. That's up on 17th Street. It's training individuals to teach English to people over 16. And what I realized when I read that was it reminded me of an article about how you make the biggest change in the world. You know, we talk about if you give people a fish, they eat for a day, but if you teach them to fish, you can feed them for a lifetime. Well, there's no more teaching them to fish than feeding the need to read. Because as soon as you teach people to read, they start to move toward more democratic countries. And so when you think about volunteering, you need to volunteer for the things that are meaningful to you. You know, you may be somebody that the cancer community out in Lakewood Ranch is the place that really draws you. You may be somebody that wants to work with kids, with the homeless, with individuals who have a particular health condition, or mental challenge, or physical challenge. It has to be the one that resonates for you. I watched my mother volunteer herself to death, and I decided years ago that I would just volunteer for two organizations, and it's this radio station and my People with AIDS group. But you have to find yours. And so in your New Year's resolutions, let's think about keeping in touch and volunteering, because those things are also beneficial for your health. Save a dollar. Save some money. You know, a lot of you want to get out of debt, but the only way you get out of debt is to save. And people say, well, I can't save because I'm so far in debt, I can't possibly save. That's not true. Saving is a habit, just like eating healthy is a habit. And so every time you write a check, round that checkbook number up to the next dollar. So you write a check for $39.70, write it in your checkbook as $40. And if you write a check for $14.15, round that check up to $15. And then at the end of the month, when you balance your checkbook, take all those 85 cents and 15 cents and 40 cents and transfer them to a savings account. It's one of the most painless ways for you to save. Taking your change out of your pocket every night when you go home and putting it in a jar. It's a real painless way for you to save. You know, I start out with the idea of paying yourself first. Paying yourself first means you put some money in your savings account before you pay your bills. And you say, but Eve, I've got so many bills, I can't possibly do that. But if you pay yourself first, you don't feel like you're working for the power company and the landlord and the, you know, car payment. You feel like you got a little bit in your own pocket. So try those two simple strategies. Taking the change out of your wallet and putting it in a jar, rounding up your checks to the next highest dollar, and you will begin to establish the ability to save. Now, you thought that when you were listening to No Nonsense Nutrition today that I was going to talk all about nutrition. But there's really only two things that I want you to put on your New Year's resolution list. And that's move more, move more, move more. You know, getting fit is just about moving more. Whatever it is you do. Whether you're going to play tennis or racquetball, whether you're going to take a walk around the park, whether you're going to go to a swim class or you're going to join a gym. You know, the average members at a gym only go 5 times a month, so it actually costs them a whole lot more per visit than they realize. And yet more of you will join a gym during the month of January than any other month of the year. But the thing you have to do is carve out the time for fitness. Carving out the time, just walk out your door. Now, tomorrow morning when it's 36 degrees, you may not want to walk out your door. This morning when I went out to get the paper and it was raining, you may not want to take a walk down the road. But getting fit really has to do with moving, 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 moving. And that's the same thing that has to do with weight loss. You know, 70% of us are overweight. And we just need to move more. But there are two things that I really want you to work on in terms of your food this year. One of them is eliminating the sugar-sweetened beverages, eliminating the soda pop, whether it's diet soda or it's sugar-sweetened beverages. You know, we've had a study that has absolutely positively demonstrated now that diet soda helps you gain weight. As long as your brain thinks something sweet is coming, which is what happens when you take diet soda, it's going to keep looking for the calories and actually force you to overeat. You know, it's the fizz that's the draw with soda pop. All of the studies that have been done have given people flat soda pop or fizzy water. They'll still choose fizzy water over flat soda pop. You know, they've got these machines now. They cost about $100 that actually will put fizz in your water. You can make your own fizzy water with it, or you can get that same seltzer bottle that the Three Stooges used to use for years from virtually any cookware store. But, you know, I love the flavored stevias that are out there. Stevia is the non-nutritive sweetener that comes to us from a South American plant. Stevia is very safe to use. And it does not appear to trigger the part of the brain that diet soda does. But it comes in flavors. There's mandarin orange and vanilla cream and chocolate and cinnamon and peppermint and lemon and just all sorts of things. And so putting a couple of drops of that flavored stevia in water will give you a flavored drink. I turned some clients on to 2 drops of lemon-flavored stevia in the water in my office on Saturday, and they were both amazingly surprised at how delicious it was. Well, you'd get even more substitution deliciousness if you put a couple of drops of that lemon-flavored stevia into fizzy water. So rather than spending the money on buying soda in plastic bottles, because we sure need to quit buying those plastic bottles. You've heard it 100 times on No Nonsense Nutrition. Spend the money on a high quality, absolute 1 micron water filter. Those absolute 1 micron water filters are going to give you better water than anything that you can buy in a bottle. And certainly stop the tremendous demand on the Sarasota County landfill that's happening, and landfills all over the United States from buying the plastic bottles. So back to our soda pop story. Fizz is the draw. Give yourself fizzy. Maybe it's just a fizzy water. But if you flavor that water with something sweet and something yummy, then it might help you break the soda pop habit. But when you look at sugar sweetened beverages, it's not just soda pop, it's also tea. I see individuals and they take that tall can of tea and for some reason they think it's better than soda pop, and yet there's 11.5 teaspoons of sugar in that can of tea. 11.5 teaspoons. That's astounding. When you look at 3/4 of a cup of sugar going into your body in just a couple of days. Pounds of sugar every month. You know, I did that show on sugar a few weeks ago, and it actually blew my mind when I researched the statistics and found out that the average American is eating a 5-pound bag of sugar every 12 days, the majority of which is coming from soda pop. So there's a habit that you might make as your New Year's resolution, and that's to eliminate the soda pop in your life. But also eliminate that sugar sweetened tea. And snacking when we're not hungry, mindless eating. You know, mindless eating can give us another 500 to 600 calories every day. People are going to come into work tomorrow or today with their leftover Christmas cookies, and you're going to eat them just because they're there. Not because you're hungry, but just because they're there. And so working on mindless eating is a good resolution for you to make for the new year. Eliminating soda pop, not snacking if you're not hungry, and just overall looking for healthier food. Healthier food means your great-grandmother would recognize it. Healthier food means that a third grader can pronounce it. Healthier food means it doesn't have an ingredient in it that you wouldn't find on your pantry. If sodium nitrate and sodium nitrite are not in your pantry, if potassium bisulfate is not in your pantry, then why would you eat a food that contains it? And of course, I could go on with dozens and dozens of examples, but you get the drift. Turn that box of cookies over. Turn that package of crackers over. Look at that cereal. You know, if your cereal colors your milk, it probably is not doing a very good job for you. So as you move to healthier food, hopefully you had your black-eyed peas and collard greens. We had ours last night. I made my black-eyed peas. I had a smoked turkey wing that I bought and ripped that smoked turkey wing apart, threw away the skin and the gristle and the bones, and just put some of that meat into my black-eyed peas with onions and celery and carrots yesterday, and we had that last night with our collard greens. Had it with a nice whole grain roll. I didn't make cornbread last night, but got by with a whole grain roll. Those are foods that occur in nature. That's all that was in the meal. Little collards, a little brown rice vinegar, a little butter on the roll, onions, celery, carrots, black-eyed peas, smoked turkey, end of the list. It's real food. So when you think about healthier food, when people say, well, I don't have time. I don't have time to fix food. What do you need time for to eat a carrot? What do you need time for in order to make a scrambled egg sandwich? I started out the day yesterday with citrus salad. First citrus salad of the year. Grapefruit right off the tree. Some oranges from a basket that we were gifted with. Made a lovely citrus salad and had that as the first food of the day, and then got ready to go out to Siesta Key Beach and had a papaya and one of those fabulous Harry and David pears I got for Christmas. Put a little plain yogurt on top of that. Had it with a cup of tea. It's real food. That's all. It's just real food. That's what you need to look at in terms of healthier food. If it's coming out of a bag or a box, you got a question mark. Now, of course, the black-eyed peas came out of a bag, but I'm talking about an ingredient list. The less ingredient list there is on the foods that you eat, the more likely they're foods. You know, they've always said that the real food is on the outside aisles of the grocery store, as opposed to the interior aisles. That's where the meat and the dairy and the produce is, and that's where we need to shop. So look at 2012 and ask yourself this question. Am I going to age 1 year in 2012, or am I going to age faster than a year? Now you say, Eve, you can only age 1 year in 1 year. No, I don't believe that for a minute. Haven't you ever run into a friend that's looking pretty rough, and you know they aged more than a year in a year? Well, my goal is to age 11 months this year. Age a little less than a year in a year. And so that when we get to the 2nd of January in 2013, and for those of you doomsdayers that don't think there's going to be a 2013, I invite you to sign over all of your property to me. Thank you very much. But if you want to be healthier on January of 2013 than you are January of 2012, prioritize your sleep, work on your posture, take more vacations and reduce your stress. Put your electronics to bed, save some money, keep in touch and volunteer. Bag the soda and the mindless eating snacks. Have healthier food. And that's one of the suggestions I can make for having a fitter 2011.